For the Daily Yonder and Public News Service, this is the news from rural America. Rural communities are intrigued by promises from crypto mining companies to add jobs and help transform their economy. But to produce digital currency, crypto companies often buy up cheap rural land to build data centers that use huge amounts of electricity.
Why would it be a good idea to be offering it to a facility that's also going to come in and be a massive user of electricity that's going to put stress on the electric grid, which often leads to other costs?
Earth Justice lawyer Tom Samar argues the crypto industry has little day-to-day utility and is dominated by risky quick-buck plays. It's also largely unregulated, making its impacts hard to measure. He says Kentucky Power raised red flags recently when it said it wants to delay closing its antiquated Big Sandy plant, while also promising a new crypto miner millions in discounts.
That gas plant had been proposed to retire in 2031, and now Kentucky Power is proposing to extend the life of that gas plant by 10 years or more.
Last year, crypto used as much power as Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, and Rhode Island. A Daily Yonder analysis finds Black people in the rural South live in less segregated neighborhoods than their urban counterparts. Olivia Weeks has more.
This research shows how the racial balance of a neighborhood compares to that of its county. Sarah Malott is a data reporter with the Daily Yonder.
The segregation score essentially measures how spread out a population is over a given area. So in this case, I was measuring how spread out the Black and white populations were in southern counties.
For southern rural neighborhoods, she found a bit over 40% of folks would have to move to make the ratio of Black to white people equal that of the county. But for southern cities, Malott says it's 55%.
So a county with a really diverse population doesn't necessarily have a good segregation score.
I'm Olivia Weeks.
Pretty or plain, invasive plants can wreak havoc, overwhelming local wildflowers and native grasses and upending ecosystems for wildlife. The National Park Service is fighting back in the northern Great Plains with plant restoration.
National parks are like our public land heritage, right? We want these to be the healthiest landscape that they can be, and native plants are a big part of that.
Laura Perkins leads the Native Plant Initiative at South Dakota State University. SDSU and the Park Service are focusing on seed harvesting and planting techniques, but Perkins says their collaboration can only do so much and calls for farmers and ranchers to join in.
Especially in the northern Great Plains, so much of our land is owned by private people. We don't have a whole lot of public land.
Homeowners can also do their part by including native wildflowers in yards and gardens. For the Daily Yonder and Public News Service, I'm Roz Brown. For more rural stories, visit dailyyonder.com.